Good morning to every one of you. It's nice to see all of you, and it can't get much better than this. It just can't. It's just wonderful, and I've loved every moment of it. It's nice to see our visitors and your smiling faces, and it's just great. It's just great to be here, and I could sit and listen to the Sportsman Troopers sing for the next hour, and a half a dozen other families just come up and sing and sing and sing and just float to heaven and stay there and sing this afternoon. It would be just wonderful. Well, anyhow, I'm so glad you're here. And as we prepare to worship today, I've asked you this question before. It's kind of redundant maybe to you, but I think it's important to be repeated. So I'm going to ask this question again to you today. And the question is, as we quiet our hearts before the Lord, what did you bring today to offer God? What did you bring to give to each other, to offer God? Now, I see a couple of young people. If you need to tune in to me, let's look up here. Look at Brother Ted. It's kind of fun to sit together and have a little visit, but let's look up here right now. Maybe you young people could tell me, what did you bring? What did you bring to offer God? What did you bring today? I know you're not just pew sitters, bench centers, sitters. I've warned you about warming the bench, and that's all you do. I don't think you do that anymore. I don't know if you ever did. I've done it lots of times. I hope you're not doing it. But what did you bring? Think in your brain right now what you brought. Did you bring the sacrifice of praise? How many of you have sat there and praised God this morning already? I mean, if you sat there and you would listen to Mike, and you listen to Carl's, and you listen to our singing, and you haven't praised God, hey, sacrifice of praise. How many of you have brought a prayer of adoration? How many of you sat there and prayed to God, adoring Him? A prayer of thanksgiving, did you bring that? How about bringing a word in due season? Brother Ted could use a word today. Bring a word in due season. Encourage each other. Just after the service. Bring a word in due season and encouragement. How many of you brought a Christian greeting with a big smile? How many of you brought a verse or a blessing you want to share? Before the service, we got here a little early and a brother came up to me and that's all he can do is share verses and bless. You brought a blessing. How many of you brought something that impacted you this week? God did something in your heart, and you just can't wait to share it. How many of you brought that today? How many of you brought lifting up holy hands? If Brother Denny were here, his hands, he had holy hands, and he lifted them. How many of you blessed God this week by doing something that only a Christian would do? What did you do yesterday that only a Christian would do? What did you do this week? What did you bring today to give away, to give to God? What do you have to share? It's only in giving that you're going to receive. The title of my message today is Growing in Christ. Growing in Christ. Let me tell you a few things that I've learned over the years. You know, life isn't about keeping score. It's not about how many friends you have or how accepted you are. Life isn't about who your family is, or how much money you have, or how much money you don't have, or what kind of car you drive, or how well you're known in the social media. Life isn't about how beautiful or how ugly you are, or about how beautiful or how ugly you think you are. Life isn't about how many friends you have. It's not about the clothes you wear. Life isn't about the shoes you have on your feet today, or how large or how tiny your house is. Life is not about your hair. Is it blonde? Is it red? Is it black? Is it brown? Or is it purple? Or if your skin is light or dark, it's not life. Life is not about what scores and grades you got in school, how smart you are, or how smart everyone else thinks you are, or how smart some standardized test said you are. It's not about how athletic or how musical you are, how charming you are, how cool you are. Life is not representing your entire being on a piece of paper and seeing who will accept the written you. None of this is life. Growing in Christ, that's life. The message today is for a specific person that's sitting here, somebody I had in mind. It won't take long and you can figure it out. Maybe it's you. Appreciate the way the young people are sitting up and they're paying very close attention. I appreciate that because you are blessing me. You've given something away. This message today is for anybody who wants to go deeper with God. My message today is for a specific category of people, for people who want to be more Christ-like. It's for people today who want genuine growth and maturity in Christ. This message today is for anyone, any age, any stage in life. I don't care if you're 12, 22, 52, or 72, or any stage of faith, who just want more. It's for you, folks, if you want to grow closer to God. It's for those who are here today and who are non-believers. You're not even Christian, but you know what? I'm glad you're here today. And if I say, would all the Christians stand up? You would all stand up. But listen carefully. Just because you stand up doesn't mean that you're a Christian. You know in your heart where you are. Or maybe it's for the non-believer, or maybe it's for the Christian who has fallen away. And maybe you're reconsidering that decision today. Maybe you're thinking about it. Maybe there's somebody here, and I hope there is because I like a challenge. Maybe there's somebody or somebody's here who is wondering, is the Bible true? Is it true? Was Jesus really who he said he was? This message is for you today. Or maybe you're wondering, is there a God? How can there be a God with what's going on? Maybe you just want to know, is there anything real behind all these Christian people sitting beside me? This message is for you, and I'm excited. This message is for the hungry novice. Maybe you are a young Christian and you're excited to learn more. This question is for you folks who love Ephrata Christian Fellowship. You love to be here and you tell us all the time. You just love being here. You'd like to come 7 days a week. You just want to grow in your Christian walk. You can't seem to get enough of Ephrata Christian Fellowship. You want more singing. You want more sermons. You want more of the presence of God in your life. this message is especially for you. Or maybe you desire a deep, abiding peace in Christ, a faith that's genuinely growing and growing deeper and deeper, and you're wondering how to get that. A life of contentment. Remember Brother Brian's children's lesson. Contentment. A life of love. A life of joy, no matter. What happens? A life of peace. My friend, this message is for you. My final category today is for the person who's been a Christian a long time. You've been a Christian a long time. Some of us old men and some of you older ladies. You've got some years under your belt and you've made it past the milestones in your life and your faith has been strong. This message is for the veteran. This message is for you. Because even after some years, sometimes we seem to plateau and level out or even get stuck. Maybe our best days are those days back then when you were closest to God, days you only remember. And you're wondering what to do about it. How can I get those days back? You listen today and I'm going to tell you how. The message today is for those of you that are perfectly content with where you are with God. But you know what? I hope this message makes you discontented with where you are with God. And I hope this message today inspires you. And I hope this message can light a little fire in you and whet your appetite for more of God. Because we all know it's so very easy just to settle in, become very basic in our faith, lose that excitement we once had or once knew, to become self-centered, to become very limited in our faith. But actually, in actuality, we want to go deeper with Christ because that's where real life is. That's the good stuff, the real stuff. The powerful stuff. What is life? Christ. Christ is our life. The powerful stuff of life is that stuff you never get over. You can remember it today. Even though it happened time and time again over the years, you can remember the powerful stuff of life when you were walking hand in hand with God. Every single one of us wants something real in our lives and something with depth in our faith. We want more of God. None of us wants to get to the end of our lives and have God write in large capital letters, wasted. None of us wants to get to the end of our lives with all those big questions we have in our life. And with all those tough circumstances we have in our life, and some of us have a lot of tough circumstances, and that's okay. But none of us want to get there and say, oh, I was young. I was young in my faith. I never grew in my faith. I was immature in Christ. I never chose to go deeper. I chose to feel distant. When times got tough, none of us want that, I'm sure. Let me tell you something, my friends. If you are Christian today, you can't afford to have distance between you and God. You can't afford mediocrity with God. You can't afford lukewarmness. Because none of that will bring you love, joy, peace, and closeness to God you so earnestly desire. Imagine what some of you are going through, and yet you could stand up at your bench and say, I've got the peace of God. You know what's so remarkable about the peace of God? This came to me about 2:30 this morning. I've got the peace of God that passes understanding. Warm, lukewarmness, mediocrity will never capture your hearts. None of that will influence your children, your loved ones. Lukewarmness and mediocrity is not going to make you the kind of person you want to be. It will not develop within you a faith that inspires and witnesses to your wife or to your children, to your neighbors, to your family, to your church. A mature end of growing in Christ and Christ-likeness is a faith that day by day, glorifies Christ. I know what some of you might be thinking right now. Glorifying Christ, growing closer to God, me growing closer to Christ, me getting past lukewarmness, me getting past my mediocrity. Isn't that the church's problem, to get me past my lukewarmness? Isn't that the minister's job every Sunday to preach at me and get me past my immaturity? Isn't that what they're supposed to do every Sunday, kind of grow me up? Isn't growing in my faith and maturing as a Christian in the same way as, well, maybe if you need an electrician, your electricity, you have an issue, you call the electrician. He comes and fixes it. The plumber, he'll come and fix your plumbing. Your tax consultant back there, Leon, he'll fix your taxes for you. Now, preacher, you come every Sunday and grow me up, mature me in Christ. Tell me, fill me with what I need. Isn't that something you get other people to do for you? And for many of us, in the very beginning of our walk, for me, the very beginning, I would say, yes, that's the preacher's job. Grow me up. Make me mature. That's somebody else's job. We may think that until we read the passage I'm going to share with you today. And I want to read to you today a little bit from Hebrews. Hebrews is specifically written to Christians who are looking for more of God, more of their faith. Looking for a deeper walk with God, looking for a closer walk, a closer relationship with God. And the author is writing to them and trying to lead them there. And I want you to hear what Paul supposedly wrote Hebrews, what he tells them. And I think you and I need to hear what he tells them in Hebrews. And we're going to find it a little bit difficult. But to understand how anybody could be so bold in what he says, you just listen to me for a moment. Okay, in Hebrews, right here, listen to what he says. This is Paul, in just a few words, of whom we have much to say. Paul says that he has much more to say. And it's hard to explain since you become dull of hearing. He has much to say to the Hebrews about God, about their faith, about what God is doing in their lives. There's much more he wants to say. But he says, it's difficult. It's so difficult. And here's his slam. The slam is, you've become dull of hearing. That's the slam. In other words, you become very slow to learn. You're not paying attention. And here's what he is essentially saying to the people, the Hebrews, and to us at Ephrata. You Hebrews, you people sitting at Ephrata today in the bench, Paul is saying to you, I want to help you get closer to God. I want God to be more real in your life. I want to help mature you. I want to help grow you up in Christ likeness. But, get the but here. To understand real life, I can't get you closer to God. I can't make you grow in Christ likeness. And it's not because of me. And here's the slam. It's because of you. It's you, Hebrews. It's you, Y-O-U, at Ephrata, getting in the way. It's hard to swallow. Because when I point that finger at you, I've got several fingers pointing right back at Brother Ted. I can't grow you up. I can't make you more Christ-like because of you. You, Hebrews, you people in Ephrata, you are getting in the way. Oh, the church, Ephrata Christian Fellowship, the church is doing its part. And the sermons are doing their part. And the singing does its part. And the ministers certainly are doing their part. The time of sharing and testimonies, it's doing its part. And God is doing His part. But, my friends, Hebrews, Ephrata Christian Fellowship, you are not doing your part. You are getting in the way. And it's keeping you in a land of mediocrity, a land of lukewarmness, and some of you very distant from God. And you know what? I think Paul could have written the book to the churches of today, just as he wrote the book to the Hebrews. What if we have everything and we do? What if we have everything we need from the ministers, from the sermons, from the hymn singing, from our church, and from God? To mature and to grow in Christ-likeness. But we're doing something. We're doing something that's getting in the way. What if there would be a change that many of us need to make today? And until we make that change, my friends, no amount of preaching, until I made that change, no amount of singing, until I made that change, no amount of church, until we make that change, is going to be able to get us closer to God. Part of the answer lies in Hebrews, and that's what we're going to look at today. And unless, my friends, you at Ephrata are willing to lean into this, there is very little that Brother Mose and the ministry can do. There's very little that your church attendance can do. There's very little the hymn singing can do to take you where God wants to take you and go in your faith. And that's exactly what the author of Hebrews is saying. Listen again. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, some of you can't even stand up and say a word. Some of you can't even talk to your wife about what God's doing in your life. The Bible says, work out that which is in. Work out that salvation. Work that out. Well, you can't work it out unless it's already in there. Can't give out. You can't give a testimony. You can't use the mic. And I know some of you, you're incredibly shy, and I understand that. I get it. But just evaluate yourself. How often do you speak of God to your wife, to your children? How often do you give out that which is in? Well, how often does it bubble over? It won't come out if it hasn't been put in. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you ought to speak of the word, you need someone to teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. You come to need milk. Milk. You need to suck on the milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. My friends, this is very serious. This is very serious right here. God is saying, through the author of Hebrews, I've got so much for you, Ephrata people, so much to teach you. There are many, many more topics to explore in the Word, but I can't. I can't because of a step you have not taken, because you are getting in the way. You know what the problem is, Hebrews? You know what the problem is, people of Ephrata? You need to grow up. You need to grow up spiritually. Brother Ted needs to grow up spiritually. Brother Ted needs to grow up. You need to mature. You need to grow in more Christ-likeness. You need to understand spiritual growth. We all want that. We all want to be close to God. We all want to be more godly. We all want to be more mature. And the question that jumps right off of the page here today is, the verse is a hard one, and it's asking the question, are you growing up? Are you growing in Christ-likeness? Are you maturing spiritually? Are you more Christ-like today than you were yesterday? That's exactly the criticism he's leveling with the people of Hebrews. In case you're not following me, I'll be more straightforward. The insult is this. Here's the insult. People, Hebrews, people of Ephrata, Brother Ted, you still need to drink milk, not solid food. You are still babies in Christ. You know, there's a natural progression in natural life. There are babies here that are 3 months old, maybe 6 or 8 months old. There are 5-year-olds sitting out there, 15-year-olds sitting out there, 25-year-olds, 50-year-olds. It's a natural progression you have in the physical. And you are supposed to progress through life. Well, when we become Christians, we're supposed to progress in our Christian walk. We're supposed to grow up little by little, day by day, and be able to partake of the solid food. Take the deeper learning and the understanding about God. And many, many of you can. But let me tell you something. When the spiritual growth isn't happening like it's supposed to happen, that's when things begin to go wrong. And I think it's on purpose. And I think it's God's intervention. And things go wrong in your life. And I think God causes it. Maybe to bring you nigh to Him. Maybe to bring you back to your knees. And the problem is not that we drank milk at one time. That's not the problem. The problem is that after all these years and all these messages and all these Bible schools and all these church services, you still need to drink the milk. I want to make sure that we fully understand how Hebrews is trying to tell us here at Ephrata. I think it's really important, so I'm going to show you two exhibits. My first exhibit I have here, I want to show you. This is Exhibit A. And, oh, she is cute. This is my Exhibit A. And this is Bonnie. Bonnie the baby. This is Bonnie the baby. So cute. And look what I have here. Here we go, Bonnie. Oh, yes. This is so right. This is so normal. There's nothing weird about this. Oh, Bonnie, here's your ducky. Suck on the milk. Yeah, this will make you grow. You're so sweet. Remember, I'm going to refer to this Exhibit A. Who's Exhibit A? Bonnie and the milk bottle. Now, Exhibit B is a little more closer to home to us. And that's dear old brother Brian. Brian, come on up here, buddy. Don't you worry, everybody. I cleared this 3 weeks ago with brother Brian. Okay, come on, brother Brian. Just a minute. Come right up here and stand by my chair. Okay. I need a little rest. Brother Brian, you sit right there.
Really?
Sit. Yeah, this is brother, you look at them. I don't want your COVID. Okay. There we go, Brother Brian. Now, you hold your ducky. There you go. All right. Now look at this.
Okay.
Don't worry. Look at this. Look at that.
I'm looking.
So, Brother Brian, he still needs the milk? This should make you feel very weird. It makes me feel very weird. This should look very strange that he still needs to suck on the milk. There's something wrong about this picture. I can't give him his T-bone steak, his mashed potatoes. He needs to drink the milk. What if that's all, Brother... Thank you. What if that's all Brother Brian would drink and eat? I don't think he would live very long. Thank you. That's Exhibit B. We had Exhibit A, little Bonnie baby, and now we had Exhibit B. Exhibit A, why was it so normal for little Bonnie baby to have the bottle? It was totally normal because she's a baby. That's what babies do. As a matter of fact, they drink milk exclusively. But what about Exhibit B? Brian is a middle-aged man. What did you think of Exhibit B? Weird, creepy, awkward. And like I said, if he'd been drinking milk all his life, he probably wouldn't be alive. My friends, Exhibit A, Exhibit B, this is exactly the image in this verse. You were supposed to feel weird and awkward and strange with Exhibit B. The weird feeling was right. The awkward feeling was right. And again, the problem with the people here was not that they drank milk at one point, Exhibit A, but the problem with the Hebrews is they started on milk, and years later, they're still drinking milk. How creepy. How weird. The question that's the game changer for us this morning is this. Three words. And here's the game changer. What about you? What about you? There is a progression spiritually It's supposed to happen, just like the one that happened physically. And my simple question for you this morning is, where are you spiritually? Are you still needing to drink the milk? And perhaps more importantly, how long have you been where you are today? How long have you been where you are currently spiritually? Folks, youth, you youth sitting out there, our up-and-coming youth group, our young marrieds and our singles, parents, grandparents, how long have you been where you are spiritually today? Each and every one of us has room to grow. And I just wonder how many of us would answer, a long time, a long time I've been where I am today. Some of us, unfortunately, would answer, forever. I've always been at this spot. Some of you would answer, as long as I can remember. I've grown up in every other way, but I'm still in the same place spiritually. I'm drinking milk. If you're honest with yourself, I still need the milk. Creepy, weird, unspiritual. And you know what hit me this week? I think your friends, I think your husband, I think your wife, your families, fellow believers in this church, I think they deserve a better answer than what some of us can give for a long time. Your children, when they grow up, I sure hope you have a better answer for them than, oh, for a long time. I never read in my Bible much, children, and I never had much of a prayer life, and I slept in church, but I went to church, and I never really grew much in wisdom and understanding of the Bible. I've been here a long time, and you've all grown up now, and I hope you have a better answer for them. And I know you want that too. Don't the people you love deserve a better answer than for a long time? Isn't this area in your life too important to your loved ones? Doesn't God Himself deserve a better answer than for a long time? I think so. Guess what, my friends? Each one of you, you deserve, you yourself, you deserve a better answer. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your friends. You owe it to your life. Because your example is too noticeable, your influence is too great, and your future is too valuable. All of your friends, your family, your legacy are all too important to say when it comes to spiritual things, I've been in the same place for a long time. So how can you get a better answer? And it's the first step in getting out of your spiritual babyhood. It's the first step in putting down the bottle. Unless you lean into this, it's very highly likely that you may stay where you are spiritually for the next year, the next 10 years. But listen what he says. But solid food belongs to those who are of full of age, who by reason of use, feeding themselves, they deserve the solid food. Continual use, feeding themselves. They have, because of their maturity, sensed and exercised discernment. They understand discernment between good and evil, between right and wrong. Now, true discernment is not necessarily knowing this is right and this is wrong. True discernment is knowing this is right and this is almost right. That's true discernment. Friends, there comes a point in every child's life where he has to put down the bottle, and then he has to pick up the fork, and he has to feed himself. And after that, the child grows. And Christians, there comes a time in your life that you need to put down the bottle, and you need to pick up the fork, and you need to feed yourself, and you need to read this word. You want God to speak to you? Right here, cover to cover, He'll speak to you. This is where He speaks to you from. You need to pick it up. You need to feed yourself. If you're going to grow up spiritually, if you're going to fully mature in your faith, if you and I are going to be where God expects us to be, then we are going to have to be committed to feeding ourselves, not on you feeding yourself on a regular basis. Put down the bottle and pick up the fork. And unfortunately, for a lot of us in this room, for a long time, sometimes as long as we can remember, we've been coming to church expecting the ministers to feed us. That was Exhibit B. That was you, expecting the ministers to feed you some milk. You're 20 now years old, you're 40, you're 60, and you're exclusively depending on somebody else to feed you, to prepare your milk, and to feed you 2 hours, 3 hours of one day a week. And I have to tell you, that's what's getting in your way. That's what's holding you back from spiritual life, from growing. That's what keeps you self-centered, where it's all about me, me, feed me, feed me. Give me a good message. Give me a good feeling. You are an adult who's still drinking milk. I'm going to use my whiteboard just for a minute. And this isn't going to take very much time. And I'm going to do a little bit of a comparative study here. And you're going to find yourself on the board. And you don't have to come up and tell me afterwards where you are. You do have to tell somebody, at least I hope you do. I hope you tell the one and true living God. I want you to tell Jesus Christ before you leave this room today where you are. On this side, I have Life of the Milk Drinker. Life of the Milk Drinker. Okay. There you go. Life of the Milk Drinker. And on the other side, we're going to put Life of the Growing, same as maturing, into Christ-like Christian. Okay, so what side are you on? Are you a milk drinker? Still needing to drink the milk? Well, if you are, this is one of your number one attributes here. Number one, this is you. You have a life of increasing conflict. That's your life. Your life is so full of conflict. You have conflict from within. You have conflict from without. You have a life of anger. You have a temper. You have a life of lust and struggle. You have a life of selfish ambition. You have a life of failure. 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 Romans 7, 21, 22. I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity of sin. You are a total failure. That's what you are. The fighting, the anger, the warring. Now, what if you're a maturing Christian? Maybe you're over on this side. And you have a life of abiding peace. Hey, no matter what happens, I've got the peace. The peace of God, abiding peace. No matter how upside down your world is turned, you have peace. John 16, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Unspeakable, indescribable peace. You can't even describe it. If you're growing, if you're in the Word, if you're eating the meat, if you're feeding yourself, this is where you are. If you're not, God pity you, because you're right here. Number two, if you're a milk drinker, you have a life of repeated defeat. You're always defeated. You struggle with the very same sins over and over and over again. Don't tell God, I'll never do that again, because you probably will. Don't tell God that. Repeated defeat. You struggle with the very same sin, the same gossip, the same lust, the same wrong mindset, the same disinterest in the Bible, the same disinterest in God. Defeat. Your relationship with God is up and down, up and down. Defeat. Your faith is easily rocked. Defeat. You lack joy. You have a sour face. You're discouraged. Defeat. Your life, a repeated defeat. It can't get much miserable than that. For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I want to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Out of the mouth of Paul. Defeat. Now, if you are a growing Christian, reading your Bible, you have a prayer life, you have this. You have a life of habitual, every day there's nothing but victory. When it rains, it's a wonderful day. It's a great day. When it's 3 below 0, it's a great day. A great day to be alive. When it's 105, it's a great day. Life of habitual victory. Sin no longer has any dominion over you. Sin has no power. Day in and day out, you walk with God in victory. 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's if you're in the Word and you have a prayer life and you're there growing every day, every day. John 3:9. He who's born of God does not continue in sin. Not really. I'll tell you something about that verse. We'll go down a bunny trail. My wife says, Ted, don't go down bunny trails. We're going to go real fast. He who is born of God does not continue in sin, does not sin. I was talking to some youth, what they're doing, about the movies they're watching. What are you watching? And I said, well, what about there has to be some parts in there that, you know, has to be a lot of violence. Oh, there's some violence. Maybe some inappropriate dress. Oh, yeah, the women. Yeah, some of that. I said, well, how do you deal with that? Well, the rest of it is so good. The rest of the movie is so good. Well, how do you deal with that? Oh, we don't let it bother us. I said, oh, that's your problem. you better let it bother. You better let it bother you, because all you're saying is this: good plus evil plus sin equals good. My friend. It's not so. A life of habitual victory. And I could stand up here and I could call out names. And I could bless some people and I say, you're such an inspiration to me. Because I see your life. And I see your smile. And I see your victory over sin. And when your life is falling apart, I see the joy of the Lord radiate from you. Okay, if we're still drinking the milk, you're still sucking on the bottle. Just a couple more here. And you have a life of immaturity. You have a life of babyhood. You have to have your way. You have to have everything go your way. It's all about you. I get my feelings hurt. I don't like the way he looked at me. He didn't even say anything about my new car. And it's me. It's all about me. Babyhood, immaturity. I don't read the Bible because I can't understand it. I can't understand it, so I don't read it. He's a whiner. He's a complainer. He's self-centered. Listen to me. Listen to this line. Brother Moses, you're going to like this line. No man can understand the Scriptures unless he's acquainted with the cross. No man can understand the Scriptures unless he's acquainted with the cross. 1 Corinthians, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved, it's the power of God. Life of immaturity. 1 Corinthians, Paul, I, brethren, could not speak to you, young Christians. I could not speak to you at Ephrata as unto spiritual, but as unto babies in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with solid food. For to this time you're not able to bear it, and neither are you able now. What a sad, horrible, detestable commentary for some of us. Well, what's the difference from a life of immaturity and babyhood? A life of continual growth in Christ. Maturity. Where does it come from? In the Word, my friends. In a prayer life. Maturing, growing in Christ-likeness, walking with God. Reading the Word daily. Meaningful, sweet prayer life. And it all results in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and its desires. And here's the last one. And for me, my friends, this is the scary one. If you are still a milk drinker, you live a life of increasing conflict, a life of failure, a life of repeated defeat, a life of immaturity, babyhood. Here is the scary one. A life of hypocrisy. A life of hypocrisy. You know the truth, but you refuse to obey it. You have the outer conformity. You have on the white shirt. You have on the black pants. You have on the black shoes. You drive a modest car. You have it. The outer show, it's there. And you're a pretender. You're a fake. You're a hypocrite. You claim Christ as your Lord, and you refuse to follow Him. Let me see what he said about that. About that, being the hypocrite. And you know what's so scary about that? Here's what's so scary about it, my friends. The scary part about it is this. You end up deceiving yourself. You live in deceit and you deceive yourself to the point where I'm all right. I'm okay. Everybody's doing it. Oh, God wouldn't let us go to hell. I get so sick and tired of it. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Who goes to hell? The sin? Does God sin?
No.
Sinned? Does God sinned? Sin to hell? Who goes to hell? God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. Yeah. And which one goes to hell? Therefore, don't be a milk drinker. Don't suck on the bottle all the time, year after year after year. Therefore, be imitators of God and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us. Who have you given yourself for? Have you given yourself for anybody beside yourself? Have you given yourself for God? Have you given yourself for Christ? And walk in love as Christ has loved and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We started out, what did you bring today for God? What have you given of yourself for God? But fornication and all uncleanness, that includes movies with a little bit of filth, that includes men, that includes our thought life, covetousness, let it not be named among you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Scary thing about hypocrisy, it leads to self-deception. Sin is not okay. Our Father, which is in heaven, deliver us from evil, but not tonight, not today. Father, which art in heaven, deliver me from evil. But not this weekend. Johnny's bringing the beer, and not this weekend, Lord. Life of hypocrisy. You deceive yourself. And lastly, if you're in the Word, and you're growing every day, you have a life of perfect life, perfect Christian, perfect godly man? No, but you have a life of this. You have holy living. Day by day, hour by hour, you don't lose your temper. You don't yell at your children. You don't yell at your wife. You don't argue. You don't fight. You don't get angry at all with the man that pulls out in front, the old man driving and pulls right out in front of you, and you almost have to hit your brakes so you don't get angry with him. You don't get angry when you go to Costco and you have to wait 20 minutes now to get in line. You don't get angry with life. 1 Peter 1. But he who has called you to be holy, you're anxious. You're anxious. You can't wait for everyone for the house to get quiet so you can get in the Word, so you can get on your knees, so you can weep with God. I do this in the car often. I'm alone. I've got 20 miles to go. It just happens. Anxious for the Word. Just like you're anxious for whatever those things you're anxious for, a good meal. You're anxious for the Word. But he who has, that's holy living, my friends. But he who called you to be as holy, be as holy. Remember, my friends, this book is not filled with options. This book is filled with commands. They're not options. Be ye holy. Be holy, it says, in all your conduct, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you know what, my friend? At the end of the day, at the end of life, there's no softer pillow than a clear conscience. No softer pillow than a clear conscience. Now I'm going to wrap this up for you. You know, some of you today will agree with me. You struggle with the same sin over and over. Your relationship with God is up and down. Your faith is easily rocked. And I'm sure your Christian influence is quite marginal, maybe even less, because you're over there. You're a milk drinker. You're a milk drinker. And right now I brought a different color pen along. And I'm going to do something with this pen. Okay, everyone. I'm going to shut up for 1 minute. And you're going to bow your heads. You're going to talk to God. And then between God and you, God alone, you're going to put your name there. And you decide. So, let's bow our heads for about a minute and talk to God. Okay. Now be truthful. Be honest. You can fool me. You can fool most of the people all the time, and you can fool all the people some of the time. But you can't fool God. Go ahead. Write your name up there right now. Hey, put your name up there. You know where it is, and now God knows that you know. Why have I gone through all this today? Because God has so much more. For each one of us, God has so much more for you to experience. He doesn't want you to miss out on anything. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, you want to go from over there where your name is, and you want to go over here, put your name over there, go from babyhood to maturity, you want to experience more fully of God, then pick up the Word. Pick up the food. Pick up the meat and feed yourself. Go from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity. Start today. Read the Bible. Set a place, a quiet place. Set a time, a regular time for reading your Bible and feed yourself. Get past Exhibit B. Get past Brian. Get past sucking the milk. Just one more minute. I want to say a word to the older Christians again, to the seasoned Christians, to the veterans, to those that have dug into the food and you have tasted your fair share of solid food. You know, we get busy with life and it's easy to put our faith on autopilot. You know what I'm saying? And I just wonder how many of us are in that position today. Not that you're drinking milk and that you've slid somewhere backwards. You do read your Bible. And some of you have studied your Bible, and some of you go out witnessing, and some of you memorize many scriptures, and you lead out on Wednesday night, and you come up here and preach, and you come to Saturday morning prayer meeting. You come Wednesday night. I just wonder how many of us have left off the gas and have begun to coast. We've gotten busy with life and we're just kind of fine where we are. Maybe it would be a lot of us if I ask, how long have we, the veterans, how long have we been where we are? Maybe quite a while. And we have to come to a point where you can't come to church for a tune-up. We have to come to a point where we must continue to feed ourselves more and deeper truths from the Word of God. I suggest those of you that are looking for God, those of you that are not born again, those of you that want to maybe restart a little bit, the book of John. What a wonderful place to start. And when I read the book of John, I say, Brother Ted, who on earth could make this up? Who could make that verse up? Read what it says. How could anybody invent this? Listen to me. You owe it to yourself to move on spiritually. You owe it to yourself. Two promises. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. That's what James says. Grab that. Draw near to God. Throw away the bottle. Go after the meat. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. My friends, He wasn't lying. That's not a lie. That's not an exaggeration. David said, in the presence of God. Where's the presence of God? In the Word. On your knees. That's where the presence of God is. In His presence is the fullness of joy. David wasn't just being a poet. David was talking from experience. James and David were not making things up. They were talking from real life experiences. They understood what life is. So what's your take home today? What can you take home from all this? You can't remember hardly any of it. What can you take home today? Number one, go feed yourself. Grow up. Feed yourself. Start to feed yourself. And if you're feeding yourself, don't let yourself coast. Go for deeper, tougher meat. It's in there for you. Feed yourself, number one. Number two, my friends, look at the book. It's not a book to yawn over. It's not an oh-hum book. This is not the book. You want to yawn? Go buy some scrappy whatever novel or something. This is not the book to yawn over. Number two. Number three. This is important. You only believe that which moves you to action. If you believe anything I said today and it doesn't affect you and it doesn't move you to action, you're a hypocrite. You're deceived. You don't believe it. Tell yourself, I don't believe it. Don't deceive yourself. That isn't where God wants you. God wants you to admit if you're deceived, and God will pull you out of that. You only believe that which moves you to action. My friends, it wasn't my intent to be harsh. I love you, you know that. I care about you. And I feel perfectly comfortable sermon after sermon just talking to you as friends, as children. And I hope you take it that way. And go with God.
Thank you, Brother Ted. Really appreciate the things you shared and the challenges you brought to us all here today. And challenge to my own heart. Even though I do believe that I am growing, I see room for more growth. And I hope that many of us here can say the same thing. God wants to take us on from where we're at, and He wants us to grow. I was thinking about, you know, that picture of whether we're drinking milk or whether we're eating solid food. Reminded me of a situation where a lady told me that her 2-year-old child just refused to have anything else except milk and maybe a handful of other things. And I wondered, how can this child be healthy? How can there be? Something is definitely wrong. And there was obviously things that the mother could have been doing differently to help her child to grow. But generally speaking, children grow. They mature, they change. You know, I meet someone with my family, meet someone I haven't seen for a while. You know, they'll say, my, your children are growing. You know, there's a difference when you haven't seen someone for a couple years and the children have made significant changes. And it should be that way with us spiritually, too. When we meet a friend we haven't seen for a couple years and we get talking with them, and that person should be able to note that there's maturing going on here. This person is growing. That should be our testimony. As we walk with the Lord, He wants to take us step at a time, but continually forward. May we never get to the place where we're satisfied, but continuing to grow. And I just really appreciate the things that have been shared here today, brother. We'll take a few minutes here and open it up. Someone get a microphone to you. Raise your hand if you'd like to share a response to the message or give an added word. Raise your hand. Brother Ephraim.
Very good. Excellent exhortations this morning, both in the opening and the main message. Just thankful for all of it. And I feel strengthened and choose to be that growing Christian going forward from here, realizing that I certainly have no excuse. God has reached out so much beyond what He needed to do, so much beyond what's enough for me to latch on and grow and be His servant. And with all my heart, I want to take that seriously. And Brother Ted, you were not harsh. I felt the love and genuine brotherly exhortation, and I thank you for your labors in the Word.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? And Carl?
Thank you, Brother Ted. That was a gem I'm going to treasure for a long time. I would just like to reinforce, and he told us this point, but growth never stops. And I was really challenged with the idea of becoming stagnant or going on autopilot with growth. Mm-hmm. I just thought of Paul's words, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And, you know, sometimes the older I get, the more I see how much more there is yet to attain and grow. And I just want to, like Brother Ephraim said, choose to be in that growing column and apply myself to growth and never stop. Someday we'll be in heaven and we'll be able to enjoy the presence of Christ without all of the pressing that we need to do in this life. But while we're here, let's press and let's grow.
Amen. Turn back.
Thanks, Brother Ted, because today he opened my eyes today. And I really thank you, because I feel like I'm in the middle, you know, between, you know, I know I want God more, but I feel like having trust God, give him 100%, because I guess my problems. But today I just want to thank him and this man right here, Mike, and thank you, because today I feel blessed today, and I'm leaving this church happy today, and I thank you. I needed to hear this because I feel like I'm taking a step back from God, and I don't want that. I really want more of God, but sometimes I just don't know how to hold on to it. So I want everybody here to pray for me, because I know you probably sick and tired of seeing me here, but believe me, I love God more than you. I mean, I'm not offending nobody, but believe me, I want God instead in keep going backwards.
Amen.
So I just want for prayer, because I would not be here if I don't want God. I'm here because I don't want to give all in God. Sick and tired of giving the devil he stole from me, and I don't want that anymore. I want more blessings, and I really want to walk. I don't want to be a hypocrite, because since 2002, I noticed that even Christian people, they stand where you are, Mr. Nate, and they're not right with God. They're liars. So, you know, I have to say something, because I'm kind of confused with different churches, different denomination, and I know people, they serve God, and they got, you know, they're standing where you're standing, and they're nothing but liars, you know, and sorry to say that, but just keep me in prayer, because I don't want to play with God. I want to give my heart to Him completely. So I'm asking for prayer. Thank you. Thank you again. And thank you, Tess.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you as you continue to seek Him. Anyone else? Over here? Yes, Kent.
I think for the message also, Brother Ted, I did want to hopefully clarify something that you're saying when you were elaborating on God loves sinners but hates the sin. If God didn't love sinners, none of us would be here today. It says here in Romans chapter 5, I'm just going to start in verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He wouldn't have done that if he didn't love us while we were yet sinners. I understand your point, brother. But I didn't want anyone to walk out of here thinking God didn't love sinners, because you might be sinning right now and think God doesn't love you and there's no place in his heaven for you. And that's not true. Christ died for us. He desires us to follow him, to free ourselves from that sin through his power. But until we've allowed ourselves to grow in him, as Brother Ted was sharing here, are we on milk? Are we growing? He still loves us. While there's life, there's hope, and God loves us. What we choose to do with his love is up to us. But God loves us. He gave his son for us. We have to remember that.
Amen. Thank you, brother, for bringing that clarification. I'm sure Brother Ted would agree with that. But as too often times, people use that as an excuse, and I'm sure you understand that. Yeah. And we definitely, or it's amazing the love that God has shown to us as sinners. But we can't just ride on that and assume that everything will be okay without dealing with our sin. Yeah. Amen. Yes, someone else?
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Ted. We thank the Lord for working in your heart to share this. And see it written there that Brother Paul said that he has to give the milk again. That shows a departure or a forgetting. They had to relearn or they had to be taught again. And we know milk is the foundation of the beginning of life for a child. It's what this child is fed. So, you know, and there's foundational things for the Christian to be taught. But there's if they're taught something, if you learn something, normally if we're taught math, if that has been completed, we it's in our brain, it's in our head, we remember it. We don't have to be taught it again. Mm-hmm. So if we need milk, if we're an old Christian who needs milk, we've really backslidden. And the sign of growth in the Christian life is what it said there at the end of the chapter. It's discernment. To know good and evil. To discern between good and evil. That's a sign of growth when we can discern properly. Not for everyone else in the world necessarily. It involves that. But for our own life. As we live life, do we find ourselves being able to discern between good and evil? That can be a little sign of whether we're growing or not.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Brother Victor?
There was a study a number of years back, and if my it was a study about mother's milk versus formula. And if my memory serves me well, the results of that study was that mother's milk naturally encourages a baby to seek other food. It's a natural progression of things. If you're a baby and if you're partaking of mother's milk, your body will desire something more. In contrast, the formula has certain addictive properties. And you know, once you get on it, you know, your body, it tricks your body that it's all you need. And if you switch a baby from mother's milk to formula, you know, you can successfully keep that baby addicted to the formula. Now, the baby won't be healthy or anything, but that was the result of that study of milk versus formula. And I wonder if maybe we're confusing milk with formula, because if that study is true, you know, and if the Word of God, you know, the Word of God is powerful, you know, and even the simple things in the Word of God will lead you to desire greater things. Mm-hmm. But if you get switched to something else, and if that something else, whether you call it formula or whatever you want to call it, leads you to live a life of satisfaction with that particular thing, you know, then you don't need other things. So it's just the thought that I had, you know, maybe there's something else that we get switched onto from drinking milk, because milk will naturally force you to want something greater than that. So it's just the thought I had.
That's good. Thank you. Brother Ed?
I think this ties in with what Victor is saying. In 1 Peter 2:2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." Mm-hmm. Now, he's talking about something different than what the writer of Hebrews talks about. He's not saying that we're supposed to stay babes, but we're to have the same desire and hunger for God's word as newborn babies have. So we're as newborn babes. Not that we're supposed to stay babes, but we're to have that same hunger, that same desire for God's word, which is the milk. The milk of the Word, so that we can grow. And that milk will help us to grow thereby. And of course, as we do, then we'll be able to eat the stronger meat of the Word.
Amen. Yes, thank you for that. God's Word is both milk and meat. But we need both when we're young. And I enjoy milk now too, but that's certainly not a major portion of my diet.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.